would be always some microsecond software.
Oh, hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
What's up, guys?
I just came to see where you guys are up to.
Yeah, see what's going on the other side of the wall. We're just pulling in a straight crate.
What are you guys working on?
This is a CFAR station. So CFAR stands for Data Forces Affiliated Radio System.
Yeah.
So we can interoperate with every Sundays and Wednesdays we have. So we can communicate with gas stations all over Canada. So we're communicating here at Manitoba. Both using voice and digital. So digital allows us to send like or pictures. So a lot of it's software based, but now radios are mounted in the back and we'll send to another radio here.
Which feeds to the antennas.
Yeah, which feeds the antennas through the antenna attachment.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so basically if we find ourselves in a situation where there's a floods, fires, whatever.
Big earthquake.
We could act as an interface between the city and the Canadian forces.
Oh, WEC is.
That's what this particular station does.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
No wires needed, right?
So the idea is if we're in a no-com situation, like say all the cell phones go down, which they will.
Overloaded because they're going to be reserved for your use.
We can get out of the disaster zone. Both on the civilian and on the military.
Yeah, like sort stuff out.
Yeah, well, like, for example, you guys could come running over and say, hey, we can't get a hold of anybody. Wherever your headquarters is, right? Just about like, yeah, great. Tell us. What do you want to tell us? In the world, it has an email address.
Yeah.
So send an email. And they're spread throughout the country as well. So we can it will then put it onto the internet and it'll show up at wherever your email address is.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That way we could get comms out. Or realistically, we might go and send our trailer down to people. Because nobody can talk to their loved ones and say, hey, if you want to get a message out to your loved ones.
Yeah, or whatever.
So, we have a mandate to provide them services when they call. We're all volunteers. But they might say, yeah, man, like, we're overwhelmed and we need to, like, we're the, you know what a base plan is? Primary, alternate. We're the E in base plan. Emergencies. If all else has failed, they would kind of go, hey, can you guys get a message out? And hopefully
Like the primary concerns.
Satellites aren't immune either. There's a lot of solar activity.
Yeah, I was going to say,
degradation is service.
Would solar flares take out your towers?
They might degrade service, but they wouldn't take it.
Okay.
But they might. See, the thing is a lot of people don't realize, like, Starlink, they have huge control. They use, like, collision mitigation because they have to either avoid their own satellites or avoid space. And apparently, if they can't communicate with their own satellites at an exponential rate as they collided into other things. So, if ground-based, like say the Chinese, decided to turn off all the internet communication be severely degraded. You know, so that's why all communication providers have a case plan. They have like several levels of MS. I even know that you guys are on e-com, right?
That's police and fire. We have our own dispatch.
Oh, you have your own dispatch. Well, e-com is now, my daughter's at e-com. They just got issued a new radio system that the handhelds also will be able to.
I bet ours are like, yeah, we're on the digital, so.
Oh, thank you so much.
Which is very similar.
It's very similar, the infrastructure. It's probably working in behind the scenes. And they're building this up all the time. But the point is, especially for first responders, priority on that. But imagine your radio system is backed by a cell phone. So if that was to go down, you guys may only be able to communicate as far as a radio. Need a backup. We're that for the calf, we're also that for the calf. We also have backup power.
The power is great here.
Yeah.
Right? Once in a while.
Yeah, so if your lights go out, knock on the door. When that goes,
that'd be nice. Yeah.
I think we've done that before.
We have a couple times.
We have a couple generators on site. So.
We also have in this facility. So that's, you'll see a couple satellite dishes on our tower. There's different stations around the lower mainland that are all linked by satellite. So if, like, let's say everybody but Richmond. We would still have internet coverage here. They would put the internet up through the microwave places that we all have. And so all of these facilities would have. So as long as one station on, it's good. It goes from UBC. It's all the way to Merritt, wasn't it?
There's a station
there. So if Merritt had internet access, we would get their internet access through.
That's a heck of a lot of contingency.
Yeah, and it's all volunteer. It's all by donation. It's all.
This is cool stuff to play with, though.
Do you have your own amateur license?
No. Gerard was talking about he wanted to get his.
Just interested, yeah.
It's fun. We just got back from our field day. So one day every year they have something called field day. So all the clubs and amateurs try to operate away from the home base. To see if all of their emergency batteries or generators and stuff. And, you know, I think there's like 10,000 stations. But it's fun, you know, you go out and, you know, communicate. That's a nice hobby, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got a down evening, what are you going to do? Sit in front of the TV and watch YouTube videos? Or, you know, maybe get on the radio and see if you can work digital or, you know, you can work a guy in Hawaii. There's a lot to it. As a matter of fact, there's too much.
Because you just hit repeaters, right?
These HF radios are station to station.
They're ultra long distance. We have radios like that, but you need a repeater to bounce it. The beauty about these is you can go from here to Hawaii direct.
Is it because of those towers?
Because the tower is much bigger, right? Yeah. We're comparing an antenna like this to like that, right? Yeah. We can go much further. We can like the UK, Germany.
Oh yeah, like
regularly.
With voice. And during one of our competitions, a station in India just outside of Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever needed to talk that far.
It was like 14,000 kilometers. Mind you, it was hard to hear them. But we could have got a message across. But if we were operating digital, because I was able to talk to them on voice, digital would have got through no problem. I could have sent them a 10-page email. I was in this club, in this building that 30, 40, 50 years ago was for this. It's a neat synergy here because we have that level of experience plus all of the infrastructure.
I'm sure the infrastructure definitely helps with potential.
Well, there's no other ham operator club in Well, there is one. There's Don's. Yeah. He's got a superstation.
The one Matt Arvin.
They're definitely few and far in between. We got a lot of this through PC gaming grants and stuff. And then some donations. If they were they just donated a bunch of money. Anyways, because you can have a $10,000 radio, but if you don't have an antenna to go with it, you're not going to be able to communicate too well. But all the tuning, man.
I don't know if someone else is tuning.
How much is an entry-level radio and antenna?
Oh, if you, depends what you want to do. If you want to do HF, you can get into it for, you know, $400 or $500. A little basic handheld, if you wanted to talk to all the ham repeaters in the lower mainland, you could get in $150, $200. You could go as high as, you know, the high-end ones, the ICOMs, around $700 to $900. Some of these rigs here, like this Barrett radio, is about 30 grand.
Holy!
This one's about $1,800. That Anon, I don't know the Anon there. That's about $5,000 or $7,000. You know, and then, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Right? Computers, screens, that kind of thing.
Become a member of the club. Become use the equipment. That's part of the.
It's part of the perks.
That's so
cool. You know, so it's like being able to test drive a car for weeks, you know, if you wanted to. Like, oh, I'm really interested in this particular icon. We come down to the club, play with it, try it out, practice with it. But yeah, I'm going to spend some money on it. Really, we don't run courses, though. We have two examiners. I mean, I did my course online. The other clubs do run courses. I don't know. It's some people learn just by doing it on their own. Some people need that. That's kind of in a nutshell what we do. We have a conference room down at the end. We have like full 4K video conferencing capabilities.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, this has been a dream of a lot of people for many, many years. A lot of work. We're always improving our capabilities.
I will be keeping up, right?
Yeah. Any questions?
No, it's just, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to, like, how much do the towers cost?
But every year we have to service the.
I noticed not too long ago it was.
Yeah, those lifts are like $1,200 a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a combination of donations and some of the. It's, you know,